The year 1997 is a year that will forever be marked as a turning point in the music industry. 1997 was the year that something called Auto-Tune was introduced. Now, Auto-Tune has both launched and rescued many a musical career, because Auto-Tune is a device that can fix nearly every mistake that a singer can make. Now, how does Auto-Tune work, you ask? Well, you sing into a microphone, and your voice is recorded. Afterwards, using the technology called Auto-Tune, an editor can then take your recording and digitally change the notes that you sang. So if you are singing sharp, Auto-Tune will lower your pitch. If you are singing flat, Auto-Tune will raise your pitch. Auto-Tune is the ultimate fixer. I mean, you could literally be tone deaf, sing into a microphone, and Auto-Tune will fix it. Auto-Tune will make your voice sound beautiful. In fact, I recently came across a bootleg clip of Celine Dion singing without her voice being auto-tuned, without her voice being digitally fixed. I was amazed at what I heard. Check this out. Okay, that's a joke. That clearly wasn't Celine singing. But if it was Celine singing, Auto-Tune would have been able to fix it and make her sound great. So why am I talking about Auto-Tune? I'll tell you why. I am convinced that if Auto-Tune could do for a person's actions what it can do for a person's voice, every parent would be addicted to Auto-Tune. You could make your child say and do whatever you want your child to say and do. You could distort reality. You could pretend that you have a perfect child in a perfect family. Now, sadly, while Auto-Tune is ideal for a singer, it's useless for a parent. You see, you can fix your voice, but you cannot fix your child. You cannot simply flick a switch and turn darkness into light in your child's life. As much as we may wish it were different, life as a parent does not work that way. In the real world, there are times when we simply have to face the music, times when we simply have to do our best to parent during the darkness. Well, that's what we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks here at Broadway Church. We've been doing our best to learn how to navigate the dark days. When someone we love decides to turn their back upon God, the values and the truths that have been imparted to them. Now, the principles that we're learning in this series do not just apply to parent-child relationships, but to every established, emotionally invested relationship in our lives that's experiencing serious stress and significant strain. Today, we're concluding this series with some final, practical advice. Today, we're seeking to answer one last question. What long-term strategy should a parent take when it comes to interacting with a prodigal child, with a child that is resisting or outright rejecting the values that have been imparted to them? Now, in our fantasy world, we would simply auto-tune them. We would push a button and fix them. We would make them into the person that we think they should be. But that's a fantasy world. That's not the real world. You cannot simply fix a person. Life just doesn't work that way. But that doesn't mean that we are hopeless and helpless. There are things that we can do to position a relationship for healing and restoration. There are some practical steps that we can take every day that will give God something to work with in the life of the person that we love. So what are these things that we can do? What are these practical steps that we can take? What is this strategy? Well, the strategy is summed up in today's big idea. Here it is. I can't fix people, but I can love people. I can't fix people, but I can love people. Now, what does it look like to love someone? Now, loving someone is easy when the sun is shining on the relationship, when the skies are clear and the winds are calm in the relationship. But how do you love someone when the sun is hidden, when the skies are dark, and when the winds are howling? What does it look like to love someone in the middle of a relationship storm? How can you love someone when you can cut the relationship tension with a knife? That's what we're going to focus upon today as we conclude our Parenting During the Darkness series. Today, we're going to learn three practical ways to express love to someone when times are tense. Now, before we fill in that next blank, we need to make sure we explain a crucial term. What do we mean by the word love? Now, you see, in English, we have a challenge. Our challenge is we have to express this vast concept known as love with only one word in English. The ancient Greeks didn't have that problem. They had four main words for the concept of love. They had the word eros, which is the word for sexual love. They had the word storge, which is the word for familial love, love within a family. They had the word for philos, which is the word for friendly, affectionate love. And then they had the word agape, which is the highest form of love, the purest love imaginable. That's the word that God used in Scripture to describe His own nature. When Scripture says God is love, it's literally God is agape. Every person was created to experience and express this kind of love. This is the love that you were created to experience and express. And this is the kind of love that can be only fully experienced through a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated. The famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, says, God so loved the world. And that word there is agape. God so agape loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. It's through experiencing the agape love of God as demonstrated and as offered through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we experience eternal life. Have you accepted this gift of God's purest love imaginable? If not, get ready, because at the end of today's teaching, you're going to be given an opportunity to do that very thing. Agape love, the purest love imaginable, is the kind of love that we're learning how to express today. And the first way that you can love someone with the purest love imaginable is by how you behave when you are with them. How you behave when you're with them. I was watching a show, a documentary the other day, where they talked about a mass shooting and down in the States. And it was a mass shooting between two groups of people, two gangs. Apparently, the Crips and the Bloods were had this mass shooting where several people were shot. And what triggered this whole event was they were in a dance club, and it was on Crips territory. And if you're in the gang called the Crips, you wear blue. And if you're in the gang called the Bloods, you wear red. And somebody in this dance club had the nerve to have a red bandana or a red scarf or a red tie on Crip territory. They were wearing the color red in Crip territory, where you should only be wearing dark colors or any other color except red. Somebody had this wrong color on, a gang war erupted, several people were shot. Craziness. Parents, how do you behave when you are with your prodigal child? Meaning, are you looking for things to fight over? Is your child constantly stepping on tripwires in your home, small issues that set off large battles? One way that you can express love to your child is by how you behave when you are with them. The Apostle Paul, a leader in the first century church, gave this advice to the Christ followers that were living in Rome. Now remember, this advice was given to people who were living in the belly of the beast when it came to the religious persecution. This advice was given to Christ followers living in Rome, and there were plenty of things that those Christ followers could have found to argue with over the non-Christians living all around them in Rome. But look at what Paul told them regarding how they should behave in their relationships. Paul said this, "If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Paul says, do everything that you can to create a peaceful environment. Be a source of peace everywhere you are. Paul expanded on this concept a bit later in his letter when he wrote, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. We need to make every effort, Paul said, to behave in a way that will build our child up and not tear our child down. The Apostle Peter, another important leader in the first century church, gave similar advice in a letter he wrote. Peter's words in this verse have always fascinated me. He wrote, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Look at that phrase, love covers over a multitude of sins. What's he saying here? Well, Peter is not saying love ignores every sin. We know he's not saying that because in the same letter, Peter instructed his readers to rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Peter also told them to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against your soul. And Peter also told the leaders to be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, watching over them. So clearly, Peter is not saying love ignores every sin. What Peter did say is, love covers over a multitude of sins. Many years ago when my kids were younger, we lived in the Niagara region back in Ontario, and we would sometimes go drive down to Niagara Falls and just spend the day in the park there and wandering around the falls and visiting some of the places in downtown Niagara Falls. And this one day, after we'd spent the day around the falls, we were walking with our kids to our car parked in a big parking lot beside the falls. And I said, hey, kids, I was in a stupid mood. And I said, hey, kids, watch this. And we walked through the parking lot and I jiggled all the car doors of all the cars parked and nudged them a bit. And all car alarms were going off all over the place. I thought it was funny. My wife was very annoyed at me. Why do I bring this up? Because I have met many a person in life who reacts like those car alarms. The slightest nudge and they go into hysterics. The slightest jolt to their world and they act as though a nuclear warhead has been dropped in their lap. When Peter says love covers over a multitude of sins, he's saying, watch how you behave. Pick your spots. There will be times when we should raise an alarm as a response to sin. Absolutely. However, there will also be times, in fact, a multitude of times, when love turns off the alarm, when love says, let it go. Now, this is not going to be easy. As a parent, you're going to have to learn to bite your tongue. You're going to have to decide to pick your battles. Where you set the tripwires in your life and in your home is up to you. And no two homes are going to be identical. This is going to require great wisdom as you're guided by God's Spirit and by biblical principles and priorities. But the bottom line is this. Make it your goal to express love when times are tense. And one practical way that you can do this is by how you behave when you are with them. A second practical way to express love is by what you say when you talk to them. What you say when you talk to them. I've got a couple scars on my body that I can point to. Physical reminders of incidents in my life where I was cut, where I was wounded. I've got a scar on my leg from a bicycle accident when I was 12 years old. A huge piece of metal stuck into my leg and caused a whole bunch of blood and a major cut. I was limping for weeks. Now, I can still touch that scar today. There's a memory, but that's all there is. The pain is gone. But I carry other scars as well. These scars are not physical. They're mental. They're emotional. These scars are not visible on my body, but they're no less tangible on my soul. These scars were not produced by objects that were thrown at me, but by words that were spoken to me. I'm sure many of you are familiar with some version of the old rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Don't you believe it? Words can hurt. Words can hurt us in a way, and words can touch us in a place that sticks and stones never could. A word that comes out of your mouth is like toothpaste that comes out of a tube. Once it's out, you can't put it back in. That's why parents, particularly parents that are navigating the darkness, need to be very careful with the words that we choose, with the things that we say. The Apostle Paul gave this advice in his letter to the church in Ephesus. He said, "Do not let any unwholesome, unhealthy talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So a practical way to express love to someone is by what you say when you talk to them. Listen, you may think that your child is ignoring you. You may think that your words are falling on deaf ears. You may think that your child is not listening to a thing that you're saying, but you'd be wrong. They are hearing. They are listening. They are remembering. They are storing every word that you say to them in their heart. And your words will remain with them until the day they die. So love them with your words. Build them up with your words. It's one way your love can impact a person even when you're not present with that person. In fact, it's one way that your love can impact a person even when you're no longer alive. That's how powerful the words that you say actually are. Okay, what are some practical ways that you can express love to someone even when times are tense? How you behave when you're with them, what you say when you talk to them, and finally, what you pray when you pray for them. What you pray when you pray for them. It occurred to me many years ago that the greatest gift I can give to my children is to intercede for them before the throne of God. Hey, if I'm not praying for my children, who will? Now, I don't want to auto-tune my image in front of you. If I was to tell you that I pray every day by name for every one of my children and grandchildren, I would be lying to you. I don't. It's my goal, and I can tell you that I am closer to reaching that goal than I've ever been before, but I'm not quite there yet. Praying for your child is vital at the best of times, but it's even more vital when the relationship with your child is strained. And one way that you can express love, especially when the times are tense, is by praying for them. Do you remember Jesus' famous advice regarding how to respond to those causing relationship tension in your life? Jesus famously said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Have you ever actually tried doing that? Have you regularly and intentionally prayed for those who are opposing you or rejecting you? I've discovered something amazing over the years. I've discovered that it is hard to hate someone that you're praying for. It's true. There's something about praying for someone that softens your heart towards that person. I think it's because prayer is an act of the purest love imaginable. So if you're looking for a practical way to express love to someone, even when the times are tense, pray for them. Regularly pray for them. Now, admittedly, one of the challenges of regularly praying for someone is this. After a while, you kind of run out of things to say, things to pray. I discovered a solution to that problem a couple of years ago while I was going through my step journal. On this particular day, I was scheduled to read in Paul's letter to the Colossians, and I stumbled across these words from the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God." Now, Paul's words jumped out at me there. "Since the day I heard about you, I haven't stopped praying for you." He says, "I'm continually asking God to do," and then he listed a bunch of things that he was praying for them continually. I jotted down in my step journal that day the things that Paul went on to list. And to this day, I pray these same three things over my family members. Might I suggest that it's also something you could pray when you pray for those you love? Three things. First of all, pray that they may know God's will. Paul said, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Secondly, pray that they may live God's will. He says, "So that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." And then thirdly, pray that they may experience God's power. He wrote, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Pray that they may know God's will, live God's will, and experience God's power. What you pray when you pray for someone is another practical way to express love to someone when times are tense. Well, let's conclude. In fact, I can think of no better way for us to conclude this series than for you and I to bow our heads together and to pray for the ones that we love, to pray for those that are wandering in the darkness, that they will know God's will, that they will live God's will, and that they would experience God's power. We're going to do that very thing in just a moment. But before we do that, I need to say this. You may be listening to me right now, and you are a prodigal child. You've turned your back on what you know to be true. You've wandered away, and you've been living in darkness. You may not realize it, but someone has been praying for you. Someone who knows you, someone who loves you, has been calling out to God on your behalf. That's one of the reasons why you're listening to me right now. God has sovereignly brought you to this moment. God is speaking to you. God's reaching out to you. God's calling you home. So what are you waiting for? Why not respond to his love and return to his family right now? Let's pray together. God, first, we join our hearts and our faith together right now, and we call out to you on behalf of those that we love, friends, family members, siblings, children, grandchildren, spouses. There are people in our network of relationships that we're interceding for right now. They have wandered away from you. They've turned their back on you. They are not living for you. And right now, by the authority of the resurrected Jesus, we bring them before your throne right now. We intercede on their behalf. They're wandering in darkness. God, would you bring them back into the light? We pray that they would know your will. We pray that they would live your will. We pray that they would experience your power in their lives. Spirit of God, sovereignly bring people into their lives that know you and that love you and that can have influence upon them. Bring godly, spirit-filled people into the lives of our friends and loved ones who can reaffirm them, reaffirm your love in their life, that can speak truth into their lives, people that they can respect, who know you and love you. So we bring our loved ones and our family members before you right now in the name of Jesus. And right now you're watching and you're a prodigal and you're ready to come home. If that's true, pray this with me right now. God, I acknowledge my waywardness. I have turned my back on you. I've wandered away from your presence, away from your love, away from your kingdom, away from your family. And I want to return. I want to come home. And so I acknowledge my sin. I admit my sin. I confess my sin, my rebellion to you. And I invite you to come into my life, to forgive me and cleanse me. I accept your agape love gift. I choose to believe in what you've done and what you say. And I believe in your life, your death, and your resurrection. And I put all of my trust, all of my hope, all of my faith in what you've done, not what I've done, but in what you've done on my behalf. So fill me with your spirit afresh and give me the courage to tell somebody about this decision, even before my head hits the pillow tonight. In the authority of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. Maybe welcome back to the family of God, if that applies to you. Now, the best advice I can give you is to tell someone. And if you would like to, you can text the number that's on the screen right now. Now, don't worry, we're not tricking you. We're not going to phone you or put you on a mailing list or a calling list, anything like that. We're not going to spam you. But we will simply text you back and offer our services to you in any way that we can. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today at Broadway Church.